Back when I was a boy, my favorite aunt once returned from a trip and gave me a genuine, honest-to-goodness, made-in-Australia, Australian boomerang as a present. For all of my young life, I'd heard about these wonderful instruments, and I was eager to learn how to use mine. I never had anything so fine in my life. However, that led to my downfall. I was afraid. I was afraid that if I threw it too hard, it wouldn't come back, and I would lose it. So I would take it out in the yard and gently toss it from me. It didn't come back. But by the same token, I didn't lose it either. After a time, however, that wore thin. That no longer satisfied me. I had something that was supposed to be wonderful, but it wasn't working for me. I lost the joy of my boomerang. I grew tired of tossing it, having it fail to come back, and then having to walk after it. Something was obviously wrong. This was a defective boomerang. My grandfather had been watching my struggle and disappointment, and finally he came to my aid. "Son," he said, "if you want the boomerang to work, you have to throw it hard." And with that, he gave it a mighty throw, and it went spinning off into the distance. My heart sank. I thought, "Grandfather, you've lost my boomerang. It is gone forever." But lo and behold, suddenly the boomerang began to arch around until it was flying back toward us and landed at our feet. That day I learned the boomerang principle. The harder you throw it, the better it comes back. In our scripture for this morning, St. Paul tells us, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." I had sown sparingly and had reaped very sparingly. And the scripture says that he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Grandfather had sowed bountifully, and the boomerang came back. Now, that's the boomerang principle in spiritual terms. But the problem is, a lot of us don't trust the principles. We don't really believe it will work. Fear keeps us from trusting the boomerang principle, and we lose the joy of it. We toss out a small giving, expecting it to return, and when it doesn't, we're disappointed. But isn't that exactly what the Bible says? If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. That's the principle. The other day I read about a little girl when in church, when the offering plate was passed, she asked the usher to put the plate a little lower. He lowered the plate, but she said, "Please, sir, could you put it even lower?" In amusement, the usher simply put the plate on the floor. The little girl smiled at him and stepped into the plate. "Thank you, sir," she said. "I want to give all of me to Jesus." Well, that's how the spiritual principle of the boomerang works. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Do you trust the boomerang principle of God when it comes to tithing? A lot of us are afraid. And because we have fear, we give small amounts of our resources, and then we wonder why we aren't getting blessed. But if you don't trust God's principle, if you don't believe God is faithful, if you give in fear, God's principle still works, but it's the reverse side of the principle that says when you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But the second thing I want to share from Scripture this morning is that not only is there a boomerang principle, there is also a boomerang promise. As a matter of fact, there are three promises. Sometimes people ask me, "Preacher, what will happen to me if I don't give?" And I can tell right away they don't want to, and if it's not too bad, they won't. That's a funny question to ask. What will happen if I don't? It reminds me of the church that had a choir loft up above the pulpit area for a quartet or an octet, and one Sunday as they were singing, as the soprano reached for high C, she lost her balance and fell over the rail, and her foot caught in the chandelier, and there she hung with her head down. But the pastor was equal to the occasion. He jumped up and said, "Every man close his eyes. If you look, you'll be struck blind." One man sitting on the back row said to another, "I think I'll risk one eye." And I suspect if we think that we won't lose anything, we'll run the risk of not tithing. In one sense of the word, the same thing will happen if you don't tithe that will happen if you don't throw the boomerang. Nothing. Will God punish you if you don't tithe? Will God make bad things happen to you if you disobey His command? Well, I don't know. I don't deal in negatives, really. But I do know this. I know if you do tithe, if you are obedient, if you do throw the boomerang, three promises are attached to it. Here's the first promise. St. Paul writes, "And God is able to provide every blessing in abundance." You know, there is a wonderful thing going on in our lives when we are obedient to God and practice the boomerang principle of stewardship. He's blessing us in abundance. Now, I'm not always aware of God's blessings because they may not always be obvious. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they aren't. I may be prevented from some tragedy that never happens. I may avoid some trouble that never occurs. There may have been some sickness that never came. Or in my case, there may have been some sickness which came and out of which came a great spiritual growth and development. It may be children who turned out okay, who didn't go wrong. Or maybe a marriage that is enduring across the years. There are so many things that can go wrong in life. So many heartaches, so many tragedies, so many hurts, so many wounds. What a joy, what a relief to know that when I am practicing the boomerang principle of stewardship, God is blessing me in abundance. So the first boomerang principle is that God blesses in abundance. Here's the second promise. Not only does verse 8 say that God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, it goes on to say, so that you may always have enough of everything. So not only is there plenty of blessings, there's plenty for me. The Bible says, I'll always have enough of everything. Sometimes Christians don't tithe because they fear they won't have enough for their needs. But God gives us a promise. He promises us we'll always have enough of everything. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Will the Bible lie to you? You know, God's promise is important to me. I don't want to fail my family. I want them to have all the things they need. But God makes me a promise. He says that if I sow bountifully, He will make sure that I have enough of everything. Now notice the Bible doesn't say I'll have everything I want. It says I'll have enough of everything. All my needs will be met. Oral Roberts tells a story about a man who gave to the Lord in teaspoon fashion. He gave the least he could possibly give. There was no joy in his giving, and he gave as little as he could to salve his own conscience. But one day this man had a desperate need. He was in bad trouble. He had an incredible problem. And he began to plead with God to give to him, to help him. And God said, "I will. Give me your teaspoon to help you." And he said, "Oh God, that isn't big enough. I need you to use a shovel." "Ah," said the Lord, "then you should have given with a shovel." Well, that's the way it works. If we give according to the boomerang principle, we get the boomerang promise that we'll have plenty of everything for ourselves. So the first promise is that we'll have plenty of blessings, and the second promise that we'll have plenty of everything. But there's a third promise. Verse 8 goes on to say that not only is God able to provide us with every blessing in abundance, not only will we have enough of everything, but then it adds, and you may provide in abundance for every good work. Now, there are some things that you probably would like to be able to give to this morning. Are there some things that you would like to have the financial resources to fund, to help? Well, let me tell you a secret. When we follow the boomerang principle, God promises us that we're going to have an abundance for good works. Recently, I think it was last Sunday when we had the young couples at each service giving their stewardship testimonies. One of the young couples giving their testimony went on to tell of not only tithing to the church, but to speak of all the other things to which they were giving. And you would think a young couple with a new baby and with house payments and car payments and refrigerator payments and all of the things that young couples have to pay for, that they wouldn't be able to give to all of those things. But that's just exactly the promise of God. If we give, we'll have enough to provide for every good work in abundance. I read a story the other day about a pastor who was working in a very poor area. And he went to visit a home. It was really a shack of a very poor family, which had two boys in it, the younger of which was crippled. And the older brother was sort of watching over him and helping him and taking care of him. As the minister started to leave, he noticed the older boy admiring his new car. "Do you like my car, young man?" he asked. "It's great," said the boy. "Where did you get it?" And the preacher explained, "Well, I could never afford a car like that. But I have a brother who has done very well financially, and he gave me this car as a gift." And the boy looked at the minister, and what do you think he said? He said, "I wish I could be a brother like that." Well, I think a Christian would always feel that way. I wish I could be a brother like that. But the fact is, we can. We can be a brother like that because when we practice the boomerang principle, we get the boomerang promise that God will provide in abundance for every good work, and we can be a brother like that. Someone asked me the other day, said, "Do you really tithe?" And I laughed and said, "No, actually, I quit tithing some years ago." And that's true. I found that giving 10% really wasn't enough. I'd been tithing my total income, everything, that, including my expense allowance. But that didn't satisfy. So we go beyond the tithe at our house. And that's very selfish on our part. We want the promises in abundance, plenty of blessings, plenty for ourselves, and plenty for others. Several years ago, Sir Robert Watson Watt, who invented radar, was up in Canada, and he was caught speeding in a radar trap. He'd been caught by his own invention. And he wrote a little poem about it that goes like this. "Pity Sir Robert Watson Watt, strange target of his radar plot. And this, with others I could mention, a victim of his own invention." Well, sometimes we invent our own giving program, and we get caught in our own trap. Pity Sir Christian, who would not? Strange target of his giving plot. And this, with others we could name, had no one but himself to blame. Now, I've talked about verse 6, which is the boomerang principle, and about verse 8, which is the boomerang promises. I need to go back and talk about the verse in between, verse 7, which talks about the boomerang practice. It says, "Each one must do as he's made up his mind." To throw the spiritual boomerang of stewardship, The first thing you have to do is to make up your mind. Nobody can make the decision to tithe for you and for your family. That's a decision you have to make for yourself. You see, tithing is not a matter of finances. Some people try to make it that. They say, I can't afford to tithe right now. Later, when my financial situation is better, I'll begin to tithe. But that's foolishness. In one sense of the word, we can never afford to tithe. Tithing isn't a matter of finances. It's a matter of the will. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of belief. Like St. Paul says, you have to make up your mind. You decide whether or not you will obey God. And when you decide for obedience, then suddenly you discover you've set in motion the boomerang promises in your life. You see, the promises don't work first. They're the consequence of faith. They're the result of obedience. And when you're obedient, the promises begin to flow. The plenty of blessings, the plenty for yourself, the plenty for others. So first of all, verse 7 says, each one must do as he has made up his mind. But then secondly, it goes on to add, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you don't give reluctantly or because you have to, but because you want to. You know, it's fascinating to me that the Greek words that are translated cheerful giver actually mean a hilarious giver. A laughing giver. I want to confess to you that I have not always fully understood the implications of that expression until last week, when one of the young couples in our church gave their Christian testimony of stewardship and explained it to me in a way I never understood it before. They said it meant that we're not to take money too seriously. We're to be a hilarious giver. We're to laugh about giving. Now, I confess, I'd never thought of it just that way. But it makes a lot of sense. Most of us take money far too seriously. Remember the rich young ruler who wanted eternal life? Jesus told him he took his money too seriously. He needed to get rid of it, to break the bondage of it, and to follow him. But the young man went away saddened because he had a lot of money and he took it very seriously. And his problem wasn't that he had money, it was his... The problem was he took it too seriously. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said that it will be harder for a rich man to get in heaven than it will be for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He's taking money too seriously. Do you remember when Jesus called Levi, that we know as Matthew, to be a disciple? He was a tax collector. And the Bible says he just got up and walked away from his tax collecting table. He could follow Jesus now because he wasn't taking money too seriously. And remember the story of Zacchaeus. Money was terribly serious business to Zacchaeus. He was a very rich man. He'd made a lot of money. But when he made up his mind to follow Jesus, the Bible tells us that he gave away half of all he had, and if he had cheated anybody, he gave them back fourfold what he had taken. And when he did that, Jesus said, this day has salvation come to this house. And he could say that because Zacchaeus didn't take money seriously anymore. Now he took Jesus seriously. Let me ask you, are you a hilarious giver, a laughing giver? Who do you take more seriously? Money or Jesus? Let us pray.